Should I sing the song?
We have a song.
I'm gonna sing the song. One shining moment. I don't know the words. One shining.
Yeah, don't ask me either. That's the only part I know.
Okay. Welcome to episode 12 of the New Cranky Workshop. I am Lee from Busted Knuckle Woodworks, and that is...
I'm Jared from Inland Wood and Resin.
Yeah. And this is the New Cranky Workshop. It's been a busy month, man. It's been a crazy, fun month. Yes, it has. Woodworkers March Madness. We talked about that in the last episode. That is now over. We are closing in on 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Which is very nice. I checked right before the show, 970. So we are close. And special treat for all the listeners today. We are going to give away a $100 gift card to the Cats Moses Tool Store, camtools.com. Hold on a second. He asked me to read something. They have a slogan. Cool tools for woodworking fools. Okay, that's what it is. I don't know. I just read what's on the card.
Easy read right there.
There you go. Hey, it's camtools.com. So, and we're going to tell you how you can get that in just a minute. So let's talk about viewer comments. Viewer comments. Yeah. As you know, we did Woodworking March Madness and we had brackets. The brackets were determined by the viewers voting on community polls on our respective YouTube pages. We had the Lee Conference and the Jared Conference. Mm-hmm. And I did all the polls for my conference. Jared did all the polls for his conference. And then we did the final, which was, of course, between Mark Spagnolo at Wood Whisperer and Jonathan Katz Moses. We did that on our podcast page. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to share a few of the comments. This was the best comment we received out of everything. And I'm going to lead with that one. This was from Jonathan Katz Moses, and this was on the final matchup. Thanks for all the love. Humbled to be here for sure. I might regret this considering how many votes there's been already, but I will personally donate $1 to the Katz Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund for every vote, regardless of who you vote for. Have fun. And if I win, I better get something cranky. But he didn't win.
I got a few ideas. Well, he may not have won the vote count, but he definitely won the hearts of everybody who played along. So cheers to Jonathan.
He certainly did. And that ended up, by the way, being 6,000 votes. So $6,000. Yeah. He wrote the check this morning, showed it to all of us on Instagram. Fantastic. We spent $6,000 of Jonathan Katz money. He's going to be eating top ramen for the rest of the month, I think, and probably the rest of next month.
Yeah, but yeah, so deserving of everything that he's done and greatly humbled that he even threw that out there.
Absolutely. And we want to keep the love going. So here's how we're going to give away this $100 gift card. If you donate $5 to the Katz Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, and I will leave a link in the description and I'll put the text here on the bottom of the screen, you will be entered into a drawing to win that $100 gift card from kmtools.com. Cool tools for woodworking fools. kmtools.com.
And hold on, there's 3 minutes.
For every there's more. For every multiple of $5 that you donate, we will throw your name into the hat. So if you donate $10, you'll have 2 entries. If you donate $20, you'll have 4 entries, so forth and so on. What you need to do is you need to send the receipt from your donation to our email address. And I'll put that on the screen and I'll put it in the description. It's thenewcrankyworkshop@gmail.com. send us your name, send us the receipt for the donation. You have to do it before April 20th, before April 20th, because we are going to do the drawing live on the next podcast. Mm. And so you'll find out if you won by watching the May episode. So that's it, man. Fantastic comment and fantastic guy and very generous donation. And we appreciate him donating the $100 gift card. Make sure you go to the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. Donate. For every $5 you donate, you'll get an entry.
Nice. I got to check to see if that's before or after my next payday. So I can, throw $100 in there or something like that. So yeah, $100 to get $100. Hopefully it's not rigged.
It is not. Hosts are totally eligible. All right. So, did you get any good comments on your community polls, Jared?
I did. I got a lot of stuff going back and forth on Instagram. So I'm going to start there first. It says, "Hey Jared, I just caught wind of the March Madness thing you guys did, and I wanted to say thank you for thinking of me and the very kind words you said about me and my channel. I feel like I've sucked at YouTube pretty hard lately, and it felt good to be remembered. Stuff like this puts new wind in my sails, so thank you." That is from Chris at Third Coast Craftsman. I got that literally today, so after everything was all said and done. But, you know, it was just really nice to go back and forth with Chris a handful of times and just say, you know, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. Big fan of the channel. And, you know, he was just really appreciative of the fact that I guess somebody remembered him. I mean, guy's got a 500,000 subs or whatnot. But, yeah, it was nice. You know, I got to talk with him for a little while, and he was totally jazzed about it, and he totally understood why he lost in the first round.
Yeah, that happens. But, you know, we had some very worthy opponents lose in the first round, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, this was a comment that was left on the final matchup. This was from at Wood Whisperer. The fuck is going on here? To which Jonathan responded, "It's a whole thing. Yeah. Welcome to the Thunderdome, Mark." To which Mark responded, "Finally, time for my Tina Turner cosplay."
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Mark Spagnuolo has the legs to pull off a Tina Turner cosplay, but I'd like to see. I think he ought to try it. Record it for Instagram and let us have a look, because and the big shoulders too. You got to do the big, if you're going to do the Tina Turner cosplay, you got to do the big shoulders. You got to do the little shorty skirt, and you got to do the legs. Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, Jared, go for it.
That was great. It took a lot of arm twisting to get Mark to at least, you know, hey, take notice of what was going on. So thank you again, Mark, for even taking 5 minutes out of your day. I feel kind of bad because he was like in Colorado on vacation, and here I am busting his balls about trying to get on this bandwagon and everything. So nonetheless, appreciate you taking the time to at least recognize that we're out there. So I don't remember which matchup this was, but that's Emmy award-winning Eric Curtis to you, sir. My reply, yeah. But does Eric have 3 Teacher of the Year awards? And then steals accidentally Emmy award winning. So, yeah, those were in response to Mr. Eric Curtis and, Lee pointing out the fact that Eric was moving along in the brackets because of his recent Emmy award. So, yeah, that was fun. Eric did also chime in on Instagram about that too.
Right. So here's the thing. Eric is really surging right now. We had 2 16 seeds beat 1 seeds, 1 in my conference, 1 in your conference. And Eric was 1 in your conference, and he beat the number 1 seed in your conference, which was John from Longview Woodworks. Mm-hmm. So that's John Peters. That's a tough matchup.
And if I remember right, he beat him handily. It wasn't close. Yeah.
Now, this was also left by some small woodworker channel named Witworks. I can't believe Discount Jimmy Kimmel is losing. So apparently, this is a whole thing where people think that Jonathan looks like Jimmy Kimmel with glasses. And so they call him Discount Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know. That doesn't sound kind, but it does have the right initials. So we'll go with that.
What else did I get? There was a good one. Where did it go? Let me find it. From Tamar by 3x3 Customs. Never heard of them. What the hell is happening here? And then I had to go into a very lengthy description of what was going on and why I was tagging her like 3 times a day for a couple of days straight. And her response was, not going to get my hopes up. That's some tough competition. And I believe that message or interaction went back and forth like during the first round. And then lo and behold, she winds up making it all the way to the championship round championship round of my bracket.
She was in the conference final. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read one more comment, and I'm reading this because it's somewhat typical of a lot of the comments that I received, not just on this in the final, but across all the posts. Mm-hmm. At Caleb Cross 758, where is Bourbon Moth? So look,
snubbed.
We had to snub a lot of people. We did. First of all, to make the numbers manageable, and we explained this in the last episode, we limited it to American woodworkers. If we had opened it up to the entire world, it wouldn't be March Madness. It would be March, summer, and fall madness, right? So the other thing I want to point out, Bourbon Moth was in the draft, and neither one of us picked him. I don't know. Don't read too much into it. I'll just say the reason I didn't pick Jason is because the risk of injury from throwing himself repeatedly over a workbench, I thought was just too high. So, you know, I didn't think he would last.
All of those electric slides. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I thought about this too, after the fact, like we didn't even include somebody like Matthew Peach. He's got a massive channel right now. Newton Makes is another one that is out there and is doing pretty well for himself. We could probably go on and on and on, and we just had to make a decision. It's nothing personal.
We had to. We didn't. Frankly, I wanted to include some of the smaller channels. That's why Drew was in there. That's why Eric was in there. That's why we wanted to make it kind of diverse, we tried to do that. If we could do it over, probably we could have expanded the initial draft a little bit. But you know, live and learn. It was the first time, and it is what it is. But I will say, Bourbon Moth is a lot of love for Jason out there, so, and well deserved.
So yeah.
So we're going to post all the matchups and the results, both my conference and Jared's conference, in the description. We don't have time to go over all of them, but I just want to go over a few that I thought were interesting. Of course, Mark was the overall champion. We've already talked about that. So first of all, before we start, I want to ask you, who did you have in the finals and who did you have winning the whole thing?
My finals, let's see, I had Steve Ramsey and Wood Whisperer, and I was definitely a homer.
Me
and
too.
I picked Wood Whisperer to win it all. Okay. I don't want to go back and say like, this was the plan all along, but I figured with that first pick, I better pick the guy that I thought was going to win the whole damn thing. So who knew?
That's exactly what I did. My first pick was the guy I thought who would take it, which was Steve Ramsey. I thought it would be Steve Ramsey versus Mark as well. My first pick versus your first pick. You know, that was probably the safe bet. Yeah, that's who I had, Steve versus Mark, and you had the same. So now we mentioned that there were two 16 seeds that beat one seeds, one on your side, one on my side. So mine was Drew Whitworks versus Cam Anderson at Blacktail Studio. Drew got the assignment, right? Because we said campaigning for yourself was not only allowed, but encouraged, right? And Drew shared it on his community page, and that's what put him over the top. And by the time Cam realized what was happening, the match was over, and he left a one-word comment that said, "Recount." Dude, sorry though. No recounts on YouTube.
I figured as soon as anybody would take it seriously and get their audience involved, what we thought would be the winner of a matchup would totally go out the window.
Sure, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it should be. When you're in a sport, you try to fill the stands with your own fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the case of the Oakland A's, you fill the stands with other people's fans.
It's going to be another one of those seasons, boys. You can take pot shots all you want.
All right. Now, Jonathan was definitely the Cinderella of the whole thing because everybody he beat was a higher seed. He was 10th. He beat Izzy Swan in the first round, who was the 7th seed. He beat Jimmy DiResta in the Elite Eight, who was the number 2 seed. And in the final four, he beat Steve Ramsey, who was the 3 seed. And then in the conference final, he beat James Hamilton, Stumpy Nubs. Mm-hmm. James Hamilton went all the way to the conference final, and that really surprised me. I think it shows there are a lot of creators on YouTube, especially now, who are cruising on their reputation. Because in every match that Stumpy was in, the comments were along the lines of, "Oh, I followed Stumpy since day one." Mm-hmm. I mean, he beat Colin Connect. He beat Drew. He beat Brad Rodriguez from Fix This, Build That. And he only narrowly lost to Jonathan in the final. Mm-hmm. If you look at their current output, Colin, Drew, Brad are all putting out better stuff than Stumpy Nubs. There's not even a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is what happens when you've built up a reputation and a following. Now it's for sale. Right? People don't realize this. When you take on sponsors to the level that James has, the tool that he's talking about isn't the product. That's not how this transaction works. Mm-hmm. The trust that he's built with the audience is the product. And the companies who are sponsoring him are the buyers. That's what they're buying. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting
perspective. Yeah. I mean, I've also been a viewer of Stumpy Nubs for probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. And a lot of his earlier stuff I could connect with. But as things develop and things change with a channel in the course of monetization and sponsorships and all of that comes into play, I sort of gravitated away, but I was very surprised to see that there are still so many people that continue to gravitate towards Stumpy Nubs, especially when my own opinion comes into play and I'm like, really, you're voting for him over him? Okay, interesting. But hey, to each their own, nonetheless, that was the whole point of the thing. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we seeded by sub count, but I think longevity and past reputation probably played a bigger role overall. Mm-hmm.
I would say that it played a bigger role on your side of the bracket. On mine, obviously with Eric Curtis, I saw a little more of the what have you done for me lately mentality. Because
Hold on. You have to use this whole title. Emmy award-winning Eric Kurz.
I apologize. Yeah. Damn.
Okay. Sorry, Eric.
Even not even just Eric. I mean, even people like Tamar. God, now I'm having a hard time thinking of the other. It wasn't Wood Whisperer, but there were two or three on my side that were pretty frequent and active during this whole time of posting videos. And it just seemed like, oh, well, I watched Eric, you know, yesterday or whatever, so I'm going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. Again, nothing wrong with that mentality. And he was very humble. I did speak with him over Instagram. He was very humble about how this was all shaking out. And, you know, I think a lot of the people that I picked, minus maybe like the top four, a lot of people hadn't heard of them. So it was also another way of giving those channels a little bump, a little exposure to maybe a handful of new audience members. So,
right.
Yeah, I think my side of the bracket was a little more, what have you done lately, until it got to the very end with Tamar and Mark. And then it was, you know, yeah, these are the kind of the heavyweights in the bracket.
Right. Right. Guess what? It is the part of the show that we all love to hate and
hate to love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the best part.
And that is what's making us cranky right now.
We got some good ones today, boys and girls. We got a couple of good ones.
I went first last time. I got to hear yours first. Hold on a second. I got to do the line.
Ah, damn it. Jared. This is the third time we've done it. We'll get it right. Eventually, we will get it right. Okay, Stoic, here we go.
Jared, what is making you cranky right now?
Okay, boys and girls, what is making me cranky right now? So, I don't know if this is a new thing for smaller channels. I have noticed at least three videos and one really, really set me off. And it is blaming tools for your fuck up. So I have seen a handful of videos on and recent videos of people pointing out like flaws in manufacturing and you didn't take that into consideration. And now my part that I'm milling is out of square, something like that. Okay, fair enough. But I came across a video, and I've got to switch over to a different screen here so I get it right. It is from a channel called Built Not Bought, and it's not with K-N-O-T, haha. And the video I don't remember the name of the actual title, but in his thumbnail, it clearly stated, Shaper Origin ruined my project. Now, obviously, I am a Shaper fanboy. Big fan of the tool. Love it. So you've piqued my interest. I watched that video not once, not twice, but thrice, three times. I watched it originally just to see what was going on. And he was working on a large assembly table and was carving out channels for T-Track. First and foremost, that is a fairly mundane task that didn't need to be done with the Shaper Origin, but nonetheless. Right. I watched it the second time so that I could then just focus strictly on what happened. Like, this is the end product. And then the third time, I took notes. So if you're unaware, Shaper Origin, it needs to use that domino tape in order to register itself in space. And you have to navigate the machine correctly so that it constantly sees a certain set of tape. So as I was listening, I was seeing all sorts of pitfalls. Right off the bat, I could tell right off the bat he taped the job wrong. I could see wasn't using offsets because the machine is intuitive. It gives you feedback. If it starts to stray, it kind of vibrates a little bit, let alone it has a little indicator light that says, I can't see any fucking tape. I don't know where I am. And you should stop what you're doing. So nonetheless, I drop in three questions early on while that video was out, and I got a very curt response. And if I didn't get the curt response, I wouldn't be talking about it right now. I would have let it go. But this whole idea of blaming a tool for your mistake does not make sense to me. It's like a chisel all of a sudden grows legs and decides it's going to run headlong into your piece and gouge it and ruin it. That's not what happens. You have to wield the thing. And if you don't know what you're doing and you make a video and blame the tool, then all the shaper guys are going to come out after you. And they kind of did in the comment section of that video. I could see how you would be disappointed. You invest money in a machine and then you want to use it for a project and it doesn't go the way that you plan, and you would be pissed off, but don't blame the machine. Blame yourself and make the video about not doing it this way so that we can learn from it. Don't send out misinformation and say the Shaper Origin ruined your project, because it didn't. You fucked up. And that is what's making me cranky right now.
Okay.
Lee, what is making you cranky right now?
We're getting this down. We're getting this down. Yes. Okay. So, I want to talk about hate comments, but not just any hate comment, a particular kind of hate comment from a particular kind of source. Now, I get a shitload of hate comments. I do not give a fuck. Go ahead. Give me your worst. I don't care. Now, I've talked about this on the show before, briefly. You and I have talked about it on the phone. I have a habit of hate watching channels. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to woodworking channels that are terrible, really terrible. And I watch every video from beginning to end on those channels. And I watch them on purpose because I want to know how low the bar goes on this platform. And I'll tell you, it goes pretty fucking low. But one thing I would never, ever, ever do is I would never leave them a comment about your video sucks. You're doing it wrong. This is ridiculous. Why did you make this video? This is stupid. I would never, ever, ever do that. So I got a hate comment, but this is why it bothered me, because it was from another creator, not just some doofus who wants to act like a seagull and fly over your video, take a big fucking dump and fly away. Those are the trolls. This is a guy that I know and used to respect. And his name is Adam Barnett, and he has a channel called Barnett Builds. So the video that he commented on has, as of right now, 750,000 views.
Oh, he went
and 25,000 likes. So somebody liked it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It did something well.
Couldn't have been that bad. But he left a comment, and in this comment, he called my video ridiculous. He said, your science is wrong. There was no science in it, but
yeah,
whatever, grossly that inaccurate. That was another word he used. Grossly inaccurate. Okay. This comment, and I printed it out because I wanted you to get a scale of this, was 431 words. 431 words. To put that into perspective, the Gettysburg Address is 272 words. So this thing was twice as long as the fucking Gettysburg Address. Now, I get the irony here, because we've shit-talked our fair share of creators. But there's a difference. Because number one, I'm doing it on my fucking show, not on your comment section. And number two, nobody watches this. You left a public comment, a diatribe, a screed, if you will. And you just don't do that to other creators. You don't do it. You know how hard this is, Adam. You fucking know how hard this is. Not everything that I say in every video is 100% correct and perfect. And I'll tell you, not everything that I do is the way you would have done it. And I've seen you do this on other people's videos before. I've seen you do it on other people's videos before. So I'm going to take the Barnett manifesto here, and I'm going to roll it up. And I'm going to tell you what to do with it. There you go. And that is what's making me cranky right now.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Those hate comments are a load of fun until they're not. Man.
Yeah.
400 words. Holy shit. I don't even know if I'd have the stamina to read that.
But, you know, the thing is, if I had gotten that from anyone else, delete, move on. But, you know, from somebody who should know better. So anyway,
moving on.
I want to talk about Workbench Con because yeah. I came back from. Yes, I went to Workbench Con last month. This is for people who maybe have never gone. Who maybe were on the fence about it like I was. And I want to talk about my experience and whether or not you should do it and whether or not it was worth it. So I'm going to start out by saying it was totally worth it. And here's why. If you talk to anyone about what's the number one reason you should go to Workbench Con, they will tell you the networking opportunities. And I totally agree. Now, it's not cheap. It's $700 to go. And then you figure another $700 for the hotel room and fees and food and incidentals.
It's 3 days, two and a half, 3 days,
two and a half days. Okay. And then you figure another $400 or $500 maybe for a plane ticket. It cost me over about two grand mm-hmm. for basically what amounted to 2 days of ass grabbing and back slapping.
And yeah, Instagram selfies.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is why I think it was worth it. I was thinking about this after when I came back. And this is something I am absolutely 100% convinced. And this is one of the biggest reasons. In fact, it could be the biggest reason that some YouTubers never grow. You cannot grow on this platform without help. Think of it as show business. What's the worst thing that can happen to someone in show business? Nobody takes your phone calls, right?
Nobody picks up the phone. You're not getting a job.
Getting to know people, making friends in this business is absolutely vital. And if you're struggling in your shop with a camera and a tripod by yourself, it ain't going to happen. You need friends. You need other people. I would not be where I am today without the friendships and the partnerships and the collaboration and the back and forth and the networking that I've done with people like you, especially people like Drew. His feedback has been absolutely vital. Cannot thank him enough. People like David Morris from Worst Workshop. I'm just going to forget so many people. Suman, John Cesaro. People who talked to me when I was nobody. Nothing. I reached out to a lot of people, and most people ignored me. But the people who didn't were really, really super valuable. I mean, there's so many other people I could mention. John Sexton from Biscuit Tree. Mm-hmm. Corey Rush from Fortress Fine Woodworking. So, yeah, the $2,000 was worth it. To meet those people, most of them who I'd never met in person, to look them in the eye, to meet them, to say hello, to shake their hand, to eat a meal with them. Can't beat it. I would not even hesitate.
Just to respond to what you said, I think from a bystander's perspective, somebody who's seen this a handful of times over the various social media platforms, you know, we get this belief that like, oh, it's just another fucking trade convention where everybody shows up to get shilled and sign up for sponsorships. Like, here's the clipboard. Would you like Total Boat? You know, here, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't mean this jokingly, but I think a lot of the accounts that I was following, including yours on Instagram, I mean, I was kind of living a little vicariously through all of the constant updates as far as stories. Like, hey, shit, I ran into Sumon. Oh, shit, there's Cam. Oh, shit, I just ran into Jason Benton. We just trashed him on the next episode. you know, I could see how that would be hugely beneficial. And, you know, we talked back and forth, and I told you, you know, I'm kind of a stick in the mud when it comes to large crowds kind of thing. I'm not that gregarious guy that runs up and wants to shake everybody's hand. But
I'm very shy myself, you know.
I even still, it's just like, I think there, yeah. Didn't look like it from those pictures. Like, get the fuck over here. Snap, we're taking a picture. No, I do think you're absolutely right. This is a hard lesson that I had to learn as far as relying on other people's perspectives. You know, you start by yourself, and then hopefully you can build relationships and inroads with people. And I guess, you know, it's an actual event that is taking place on a regular basis that you know a lot of people are going to go to. You know, we've talked about like woodworking shows in the past. Who the hell knows who's going to be at those things?
Right.
You know, I just realized that there are two channels that I really enjoy, and they're over on the other side of the state. I didn't know they were in Washington. I'm like, oh, sweet. And I find out their information, and I start talking to them. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in Spokane in a couple of weeks. We're going and getting a beer. Okay.
There
Let's
you
just
go.
Make it. Yeah. So I think you're exactly right. The networking mentality, or the aspect of workbench con and networking with people, even if it's just actually physically being in the same space, is tremendously valuable. So, yes, Lee, I'm planning on going next year.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, the seminars are mediocre at best. If you're going for that, don't bother. I mean, Emmy Award winning Eric Curtis gave a talk, and it was quite good. John Cesaro, his creator course team with Sam and Cam and Brad, that talk was quite good. The rest of them, most of those people had no business giving a talk on what they were talking about. When you go to a $700 conference, you expect to hear seminars from people who know what they're talking about. And most of them did not. If you want to inject humor into your videos, here's a good idea. Do cutaways to The Office. Once I heard that, I tuned out. I was like, ah, okay.
Oh, dude. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
No, you are
full of shit. Okay, so they tried to do after hours activities that nobody went to because the music was so loud that you had to scream to be heard. That's why everybody loses their voice. That's why you, on Instagram, after when people came back, they were doing stories like, oh, they all sounded like this, because you can't talk. That's why everybody hangs out in the lobby where you can't hear that music, because nobody is paying $700 to listen to somebody's shitty iPod like it's a fucking high school prom from 2004.
Yeah, nothing you but know? Mashups.
Yeah, listen. If you run Workbench Con or have anything to do with it, stop that bullshit. Okay? Nobody fucking cares. Don't hire a DJ. They hired a DJ. God, no.
Yeah, I mean, being in the world of education, I've done my fair share of these seminar type things, and you know, I think we usually call them breakout sessions. Yeah. Those are all great and fine, but I mean, you're stuck in a room with a finite amount of time to get the information, practice the thing, whatever it is. And if it's a destination seminar, you got to know where the people are that are who you want to interact with and get them right in an environment where it's a little more stripped down. So I've always been a fan of finding the closest bar, and that's usually where the people are going to congregate. And then, you know, being able
there was to a really good bar in the hotel. The hotel was super nice. There was a really good bar in the hotel, and that's where everybody hung out. Yeah. So, and there were some stories that I wouldn't share even on this show, believe it or not. But anyway, so that's Workbench Con. So let's get into video spotlights. I'll go first since you went first. And this is from a guy who I actually met at Workbench Con. So this was great. Young guy, very nice. His name is Casey, and I'm going to slaughter this last name. It's G-E-W-E-C-K-E. So I want to say Gwecki. Anyway, it's North Idaho Tables.
Cheers for pronouncing it as North Idaho. It's not Northern Idaho.
Anywho, it's North. Sorry. North Idaho. Well, that's the name of the channel, right? Yeah, North Idaho Tables. And the name of the video, this was his first video, and really this is just representative of his channel. I mean, you could watch any of them or watch all of them. Building a $20,000 conference table. So I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, he's another guy building big giant conference tables. And there's a lot of people on YouTube doing that. We all know who they are. But this guy is definitely different, and here's why. He's a good woodworker, but he is an expert metal worker, and he focuses on the bases. So the thing is, when you see guys like Cam or Chris from Four Eyes build a giant slab table, they're usually bolting it to like prefab metal legs, and that's not the focus. Mm-hmm. With this guy, the focus is the base, and he builds some incredible base, stainless steel, powder coated, welded bases that will blow your mind. He designs and builds them all. He has a forklift that he has to use to move them around. Yeah. They're so heavy, and it's incredible to watch. The designs are amazing. He's the only guy on YouTube that I know that's building custom bases at this level for big conference tables. So it's North Idaho Tables, Casey, building a $20,000 conference table. He's got a little bit to learn about making videos, but definitely worth a watch. One thing I want to just throw out real quick, because I suggested this to him, and on the off chance that anybody who knows Cam Anderson at Blacktail happens to watch this, because I think he's probably too shy to reach out, but he and Cam need to do a collab. This needs to happen. Cam builds the top. Cam's out of Oregon, right?
Yes, he's in one of the suburbs of Portland.
Right. And this guy's in Idaho, so it's not that far. Mm-hmm. Cam does the top. Casey does the bottom. They do a collab. This is a 5 million view video. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to do it.
Casey is over in Coeur d'Alene, which is less than a half an hour away from me. Right. And I believe in that video, he's sourcing the material from, God damn it, now I can't remember the name of the place. But it's actually from Portland. It's one of the largest walnut retailers on the West Coast. Gobi Walnut? Anywho. I think it's the same place that Cam sourced a lot of his material from early in his YouTubing career. So, Right. Yeah, it's just he is in a great physical location to do this type of work. And the level of talent involved with those bases, that's the selling piece. I mean, I hate to say it, but you've seen one slab table, you've seen them all until you put a kick-ass base on it. And the nice thing is his work. The base doesn't really overshadow the top.
No,
but there's a good symmetry between the two, and that one doesn't overpower the other.
Right, right. It isn't like the base is so crazy that it just you can't look at the top. Right. Mm-hmm. It's really tastefully done. The designs are insanely spot on. Yeah, they need, but they need to do a collab though, because this guy only has a few thousand subs, and it would launch him into the stratosphere, and he deserves to be up there, man. Yeah. So anyway, who do you got?
All right. So I am sticking with the trend of not picking an American, and this video comes from. Oh my God!
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah. It's now just I'm just poking the bear. This video.
This
comes
is the
from
12th episode out of 12 episodes that you haven't picked an American channel.
Eventually, I'll do it. I'm
you're just
broadening
fucking with me
our.
Now.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to be eclectic and broadening our viewership. Steve Bell Creates. That's the name of the channel, and the name of the video is "Recycling Old Shelves into a Tambour Table." So. I stumbled across Steve Bell's channel, and by the way, he's English. I forget exactly from where, but I stumbled across his channel based upon a previous video that was Shaper Origin related. So he's a Shaper user as well, and I really dug his delivery. I liked the fact that it was that typical English charm. There was some dry humor in there, and I mean, it's a guy that's working in a relatively small shop and is probably just a hobbyist, a glorified hobbyist. But he makes some really awesome stuff. And the premise of this video was taking, as the video is titled, old shelves and repurposing them into this tambour-style sliding front-face table. And it's just a little, I don't want to say dinky, but it's a very small end table. No, it's not a massively large conference table, but the intricacy of the build and the struggles in that he knew when he got to a certain point, like, ah, shit, I got to figure out how I'm going to get this thing glued up and assembled so that the glue doesn't bind up the tambour. And he fails. He struggles and he shows it, which is always appreciated. And he does it in a very, very confident way. Like, look, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to be the choke point on the project, and here's my solution. And eventually does get this thing together. And it's a work of art. It is beautiful for being just a small little end table. So, as you know, I'm a fan of the foreign channels, and if he's a Shaper guy, he's got my vote. So that's, you know, two check marks off of his book. Or in his favor, and I just really enjoyed this video, and I've been watching everything that he's put out since. He's got me hooked.
Great.
Love this channel.
Give us the name of the video one more time.
The name of the video is "Recycling Old Shelves into a Tambour Table."
Fantastic.
By Steve Bell Creates.
And that is Video Spotlights, guys. Now, don't forget, we have a playlist on our YouTube page, where every video that we've spotlighted all the way through all 12 episodes are located in order, so you can watch them. They're all very worthy watches, and hopefully you'll pick up a few new channels and curate your feed that way. Mm-hmm. And some of these channels will pick up a few new fans.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah, there's big channels, there's small channels, there's a good mix and a good eclectic mix. So, and at least half of them are from not America.
English so speaks go. Good.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, listen, so don't forget, we are available on all the major audio platforms. Don't forget to review and rate the show. If you listen on audio, that really helps us out a lot. And don't forget to go to KM Tools. We're going to leave the link in the description. Donate to the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. For every $5 that you donate, you'll have a chance to win a $100 gift card from kmtools.com. KM Tools, cool tools for woodworking fools. I just read what's on the card, okay? Yeah. I don't question it.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's not make Jonathan spend any more of his money. Yeah.
And Jared has a video coming out, I think, on 31st, right?
Easter Sunday, and well, you, by the time this comes out, the other one will come out for Shaper Studio. So there was something really cool happened with Shaper that I've been begging and pleading for many, many years, and they finally listened. So anywho, but yeah, I got a new video dropping on the 31st.
Absolutely. And I have a video that just came out last week. So go ahead, check out Jared's video. Check out my video if you haven't had a chance to already. And thanks for listening. And thank you, sir, for doing this dumb show with me.
We did a thing.
It's always a thing. Yay. We gave away some rich guy's money. No, he's not. Yeah. He's not rich.
Not anymore.
Adios, amigos. Yeah.